Good morning. There we are. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome, Lighthouse family. It was so good to see you this morning. And whether you're in the building or online, we are glad that you're making a choice to serve our Lord. There's no better choice that you can make. And if you notice, today is Youth Sunday. So every first Sunday of the month, we get our young people to get involved in ministry. So I want you, if you see someone doing something, encourage them. Thank them. Let them know that they are important to this body as well. Amen? And we have several announcements. And so today I have Mr. Carter here helping me with the announcements. I'm so thankful he's willing to do that. And I want to encourage you adults. We have a lot of kids that when we ask them to do something, it may not be comfortable for them, but they're like, okay. So when someone asks you to do something, even if it's not comfortable, maybe you should say, okay, I'll try, right? Just do your best. That's all you need to do. So if you have kids participating in Talent Expo and they are doing anything individual, not part of a group, you need to register them, and that is due tomorrow. So if you don't register them, they cannot participate. We don't want that to happen. So the flyer is on the back window. It has a QR code. You can just snap a picture of that and go get the registration done. It only takes about 5 minutes, pretty quick and easy. If your kids are participating in group, whether it's a group song or a group video, the Youth Ministries is taking care of that registration, so you don't have to worry about that. And Carter's going to tell us about Talent Expo practices today.
Kids' practices are right after church. Teens who have solo songs will practice today after church. Teen human video practice will start at 1:30.
All right, so make sure you're in the right place at the right time. And then also for Youth Ministries, we are doing a fundraiser of selling meat sticks. So any families that want to sell, please see Sister Karen. She will get boxes of meat sticks for you to sell, and that will go right into your family's account. So if you need to pay for things like going to lock-ins or youth camp, you can use that money from your account. We keep that separate just for you. Anybody who does not have kids or grandkids that are that age, if you want to sell meat sticks, we're not going to stop you. We will definitely let you help raise money for us. So especially people that have factories and stuff, I'm finding out factory people love to buy meat sticks. So if you are interested and able, please see Sister Karen, and the money you sell will just go into our general camp fund. So when kids come the day before camp and say, hey, I want to go, we got it covered. So we would love everyone. And if you notice, there's also some for sale on the back table, and that helps cover the shipping costs so the kids get more profit from the ones that they are selling. So please support the meat stick fundraiser.
Lighthouse Connection Group is canceled this month.
Okay. And then I wanted to let you know that Brother Darius is in Fostoria preaching today. So he's there this morning, but he will also be there tonight at 6 p.m. So anybody who would like to go over and support that, we encourage you to do so. And that is at New Life Family Worship in Fostoria. So if you just Google New Life Family Worship Fostoria, you don't even have to put center, but you can if you want. It'll pop up. I tried it. New Life Family Worship in Fostoria, and you will get the address. If you're like me, you need an address to put in maps to get you there, because don't tell me where it's at. Just give me the address and let it tell me where to go. So that is 6 p.m. tonight. We encourage you. It's a great church. We know the pastors over there. You will go and you will be blessed. So if you're able, 6 p.m., New Life Family Worship.
If you want to join the Easter choir, talk to Sister Betty today.
Okay. And my last announcement for today, I'm super excited about, is our women's conference next weekend. I can't believe it's come up so quickly, but we are super, super excited. So for our ladies, we also have our mentoring moments. And I had the magnet, Pastor Joe, will you hold that up just so everyone to see it? On the back table, we have these magnets you can stick on your refrigerator. My Vanna White, give him a hand. Because every second Friday we do mentoring moments, but it rotates men and women. So that schedule is laid out. So if you want to grab one and just stick it on your fridge, that way you always know. So this Friday we are kicking off our weekend with mentoring moments. And I've asked Sister Trisha Klaus to lead that. So I'm super excited about what God has given her. We are also inviting any ladies who would like to have a sleepover right here at the church. We kind of have started this tradition years ago, and so a few ladies stay every year. If you want to just come and go home and sleep in your own bed, I get it. You're more than welcome to do that as well. But if you want to bring an air mattress or sleep on some chairs, we've had a lot of creative sleeping arrangements, so you're welcome to join us. And that is for all ages. So we often have a lot of girls or teenagers come and join us as well. And so we encourage you to do that. So it's Friday night at 7, Mentoring Moments. Saturday, we start at 10 a.m., and this is for everyone. This is not just for the Lighthouse. This is not just for Christians. So if you have nieces, sisters, neighbors, coworkers, invite them. We have some flyers on that back table that you can take and hand out. It's on social media that you can share it. Offer them a ride. Let them know there's a free meal. And Sister Tracy always does a great job with food. Let's give her a hand. She is putting together our meal, so I know you'll be blessed with the food. If you want to help donate to that, please see her today. There's a few more items that she would love to have someone bring, or if you want to give money towards it, that's fine, but there will be a great meal provided for free. We might take up an offering, but that's it, just one offering for anyone who wants to give. But I am expecting, I just want to share this, I'm expecting some breakthroughs this Saturday for some women. So if you know someone who needs a breakthrough, get them here. All right, so I'm excited about that. And at this time, Brother Ryan's coming to give a quick update about Kairos, and then Jesse and Ray will be coming with our call to worship.
Can't forget Jesse and Ray now. Good morning. So this is this upcoming week. If you've been here the last few weeks, you've heard me talk about the Kairos ministry and the support that the ministry needs with cookies and finances. And I've asked for people to partner with this group and support it because lives will be changed through the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And I've been humbled by the outpouring of support for this. And I truly, from the bottom of my heart, I thank everybody who has been led or felt led to support this ministry. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit today real quick. This ministry is not about me. And I've made that hopefully very clear when I've been up here that it's not about me. And a couple weeks ago on a Friday night, I had to give a message at the team meeting, and it was about covenant. Covenant is an agreement. And a lot of people feel like they make agreements with people, but we don't think about the agreements that we're making with God. And I preached a little bit on Philippians where it talks about Jesus emptying himself and becoming a man, not taking advantage of his godlike characteristics, but emptying himself so that he could be filled with the Spirit of God to do the will of the Father. And I talked about emptying ourselves before we go into this prison. And I made the comment that there's a long list of things we're not allowed to take into the prison that weekend. And I said, but one of the things I want to encourage you not to take into prison that weekend is you. And I said, they don't need me. They need Jesus. And when we come to the realization that it's not about us and we're willing to make a covenant with God to take only Jesus in that prison, the ministry will be effective because it's not ours, it's God's. It's Jesus, it's the love of Jesus, and that's what these men need. And I didn't realize it at the time, but due to some life-changing situations in my life, I really won't be taking myself into the prison. And I thought, I must have just needed to recognize that, because I didn't know it at the time, but that word became so much truer to me, and I'm not going to be able to go in that weekend now. However, I still support that ministry. I still stand obligated with the covenant that I did make with God to support this ministry. And we are still going to deliver cookies to that ministry that are going to be prayed over, that are going to be given in forgiveness, and people's lives are going to be changed. So I want to encourage everyone here that if you haven't made that decision, it's not too late. These men need Jesus, and they're going to get Jesus with or without Ryan, and that's what they need. So I wanted to stand before you today and make sure that I wasn't being misleading in any way, that anybody would think that I didn't want to be open and transparent with you. So I wanted to make sure you know that I'm no longer able to go in. If you did give me your information because you want to go to the closing, I was no part of that either. So you were never going to have to, like, meet me there or sign up with me there. You would not have really been with me. You might have saw me from a distance. So you are still submitted to go in that weekend. And I wasn't going to be there to assist you anyway, so this is not going to affect you. So if you gave me your name, I did get your names submitted. You know who you are. And I will make sure you are informed as soon as I know when that list has been approved. I will make sure you have the information on the time and place to go and meet, and there will be people there waiting for you, and they will take you in, and you'll get to witness men's lives being changed right before your very eyes. So it's a wonderful thing. So once again, I thank you. Now, the cookies. Thursday night is the night that we had on the screen for delivery. My wife and Sister Leah have already volunteered to deliver them. The church leadership team has some stuff going on Thursday night, but I've already got a volunteer who's going to sit out here in the main sanctuary. So if you have cookies to bring them to church Thursday night between 6 and 8 and just bring them through the glass doors, and there'll be somebody sitting here. We'll just put them in a box, and those will be delivered Friday morning as scheduled. And Sister Karen has the money that everybody had donated. She's going to have a check ready. So we're still going to support that ministry. Amen. So thank you for all your support. And God sees it. I'm just telling you, he supports this ministry. He's behind it 100%, and these men need your support. So thank you so much. And at this time, Brother Jesse and Ray are going to come up and do our call to worship.
Praise God, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you give Ray a hand for coming up here? It's not easy. It's not easy for young people to come up in front of adults, as my youngest son told me. He said, Dad, getting up in front of kids is fine, but getting up in front of adults, he said, that's when it gets scary. Right, but that's okay. We just had a warm welcome, and Ray is going to read our scripture this morning.
Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Good job, Ray. Good job. was awesome. Great job. I had a few words I wanted to say about it. And on the screen up there behind me is a puzzle piece. And I want to remind you of a couple of things before I say these few words. How many of you know that God is moving in your life? Okay, if you didn't say amen and raise your hand, I'm telling you, God is moving in your life. God is moving in your life. He is seeking after you. He has a desire to have a relationship with you. And in case you weren't here for prayer this morning, I want to share a couple of things that were prayed, all pointing to the same thing. It's prayer for wholeness, for a fullness, for walls of our hearts to come down, those walls that would prevent us from letting others and from letting Christ in to do the work that he wants to do in us. So walls are going to come down today. That's okay. We can let our walls down. We're in a safe place. All right? So I wanted to say that before I said these last few words here. But last year, our pastor preached a message, and this is the way I remember it, about taking your place in the body of Christ. Now, a lot of times we say the body of Christ and the church are interchangeable. The ecclesia is another word for church, but it's not a building. It's a people. The ecclesia is a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. It's not just some place that we meet. You are the church. You are the church. I want to remind you of that. It's not a place. And so I want to use this puzzle piece, and this is the puzzle piece that I was handed out because as he preached the message, he had some people pass out a puzzle piece. Because sometimes life is like a puzzle, right? And if you look at this puzzle piece, that's not even like a normal puzzle piece, right? It's like an odd-shaped one. You ever see those puzzle pieces that are like symmetrical? You've got two at the top, two at the bottom. It looks like, well, that's going to be a perfect fit. You know where it's going to fit. This piece isn't like that. It's odd-shaped. But there's a big space right here, and that's where you fit in. Because I want to share this with you. I'm not complete. Unless you're in your place. Something is missing from me if you're not in your place because you are the body of Christ. See, I might just be a toenail in the body, but without a toe to cover, I'm out of place. I don't know what to do. I might be trying to go up and cover a kneecap. That's not going to work. That's not what I was made for. So without you being in your place, I can't function. Your neighbor can't function like they need to. So I want to encourage you. Let God melt you down today and form you into his image. Amen. So with that, if you could stand with me, I want to ask a blessing before we bring our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your spirit that's here. I thank you for what you're doing. Hallelujah. I pray, God, that as we act this form of worship, that you would just bless these tithes and offerings, use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do for you what is the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. He'd work it out for your good. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Make a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love
we've read scripture this morning, but I wanted to read this one to really help us to focus on these songs this morning. And in Colossians it says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." And going down a little ways, it says, "Then God made you alive with Christ." Amen. "And he forgave all of your sins. And he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Amen. "And he thought you were worth saving this morning. No matter what we've done or what we've been through, he said, you're worth it to me. And he came and he died for us this morning, a long time ago, so that we could be free this morning." Amen. So we're going to sing this song today. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell it.
Sister Lana has something she wants to share.
Morning. My name is Lana, and I'm a child of God, the living God. I want to say that. One scripture that I love, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, This is what the Lord says to you. To you. To you. All of us are children of God. Standing here today. And those of you who are watching online too. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Now, when I think of a vast army, I don't necessarily think of men coming with weapons and so forth. I don't think of that. I think about addiction. I think about injury, heartache, depression, anxiety, sadness. That's what I think about when I think about a vast army, because that's what's after us, this vast army. For what? I know you guys know this. The battle is not yours. The battle's not mine. And the minute that you raise your arms and you lift it up to the Lord and you leave it there, that's the key. I can't tell you how many times I took it back. But when they were singing Jesus, the first song, I'm sorry, what was it? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life, because he will and he can. I'm seeing it in my youngest son's life. I'm so happy to say, because of God, April 15th, he's going to graduate after one full year. And that's only God. That has nothing to do with me, him, Joe, any of these folks here that's prayed for Alex. This is all about lifting it up to the Lord. Okay. Another battle I think about, 2 years past, a horrible accident that took my husband's life that we were in. And I was facing fear and loneliness and sadness and so on. But I could not give up, because I know I'm a child of God. And I know that he has healed me physically, and he's working on me every day as well. So, and the other thing, I always got to brag on God when I talk about that because of the injury. So I'm going to give the microphone to Joe so I can show you how the Lord has helped me get my movements back.
Praise God. She couldn't lift her hand that arm that high before. God's healed her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise, church. Give him praise.
Bye.
Jesus on you.
Sing it one more time. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. Then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's sing this. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, sing it with us. And what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, oh, precious. Oh, precious is the foe that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Raise your hands and thank him for the blood. Oh, we thank you for your precious blood, Jesus. Nothing can wash us cleansed from our sin except for your blood. Hallelujah. We praise you for your precious sacrifice, Jesus, that you have given us. You gave your life. Father, you gave your son. We are so thankful. We worship you. We praise you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. It's no other, no other fount. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give him praise, church. Lift your voices unto him. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rana la ma so re de de be shia. O rana la ma ko re na ma na la ma se ki ya de de ya la ma ma se. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's be patient on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord this morning. Don't rush anything. Give him your praise. Give him your praise. Come on, he's fighting your battle for you. It's not yours anyway. You already heard that this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are a great God. You are a mighty God. We love you and we serve you this day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Emma's going to help me this morning as she gets ready. I want to share this testimony. I don't mean to steal your thunder, Sister Tammy, but I'm going to share your testimony. You texted me. She texted me that Scott got saved. I said, man, it's about time Scott got saved. No. I'm just teasing my brother Scott this morning. No, her brother, her biological brother, Scott. Yeah. So check this out. Some stuff started happening in Scott's life, and it opened a door. And I'll just say it like this, in a place where before Tammy wasn't allowed in. All of a sudden, Tammy was allowed in. And God used that moment because he realized he needed something. And Tammy was able to go and meet with her brother Scott and share the gospel message. And Scott received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Oh, come on. Somebody got saved. Somebody got rescued from hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Someone was given life who was dead. I'm telling you, that fires me up. That excites me. And you need to know this. I'm asking you. You need to let me know when these things happen, because they're going to happen on a regular basis. Yeah, we'll see them in church, but you have to remember, we don't gather together for that. We are sent out for that. We are sent out into the world to rescue souls. That's our job. So when we come back together, we gather together to celebrate, to edify one another, to build up the family of God, to have fellowship with each other as we have fellowship in the light of Jesus. Amen? So we need to then share those salvations, share those victories, share our testimonies with each other. That's why we do that. So I need you to start letting me know so that we can celebrate together. Now, some of y'all don't get it. You're just like, yeah, okay. Someone who was dead is now alive. I mean, only God can do that. Only God can do Woo! Only God can do that. That's a miracle. It is the greatest miracle. And we are going to create a culture in this church where we celebrate people being rescued, people being saved. Amen? Because we have Christians that don't even understand salvation. I mean, I've talked to people that they claim they're a Christian, and you talk about being saved, and they'll say, well, what does that mean? What are you saving people from? We're saving them from eternity in hell. We're saving them from themselves. We're saving them from the wickedness and the curse of this world. And it's not us that's saving them. It's us that's sharing the message with them so that Jesus can save them. Amen? So we're going to start celebrating that more and more and more and more. That's a prophetic word. Now, don't be pathetic with the prophetic word. That's a prophetic word. We're going to start hearing of this, and we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to hear more, and we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to hear more, and we're going to celebrate it, amen? Because we are a people of celebration. It's the names on the door. Pentecostal. Guess what? That's a festival. That's a celebration. So that's who we are, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where did my Emma go? Come on. I wanted to share that with you as she gets to share a testimony with you. She's my student helper this morning and is going to share a word that God has given her. So I want you to pay attention to her as she shares this testimony.
So I just wanted to share a testimony that I had. So last year I had a lot of fun, but I felt like I was dead, like something was missing. Like something needed to come out. And when we started the new year, I wanted to feel alive. And when we started praying on Sundays, the services started changing, and then at Wednesdays, things started happening, and people were getting healed, people were getting saved, and I realized that dead part of me was now alive. And I was just so glad because that I started, like, pressing in because, like, the service, like, God was moving, like, a lot. And, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let me know that we can love Jesus, serve Jesus, be following Jesus, but still have some areas in our heart and our lives that he needs to take care of. And we have that revealed to us, not so that we can feel bad about ourselves or like something's wrong with us, but so that we realize, hey, Jesus needs to fix this now. How many all of you mature Christians remember the song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be," right? Right? He's still working on us. We're a work in progress. And so I love that testimony because Emma would have told you last year, well, yeah, I love Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. But then all of a sudden she started realizing there's something in her that was not alive, that needed to be alive, that needed a spark. That is that expression of what we call revival. Amen? And revival is happening in us. It's happening in our land, and it's happening in us. And we need to recognize that. We need to celebrate that. And so that's why we're going to celebrate when people get saved. We're going to celebrate testimonies. Man, I just was so proud of you, Ray. I mean, just so proud of you, man. I just can't say that enough. Because y'all don't know the backstory with Ray coming up here and doing that this morning. He decided to do that last night. It's not like he was planned a couple weeks ahead of time, had time to think about this. It's like, you know, we haven't found a student yet, and Brother Jesse had posted on a messaging app that we use as leadership, and he goes, I've asked two or three different kids, and they've all turned me down. And so Alicia just went up and to some three boys that were at our house, and Ray was one of them, and she said, hey, would anybody be willing to help open up service by reading a scripture? And Ray's like, I'll do it. That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. So that excites me that students are saying yes to Jesus. Yeah, let me serve. Let me serve. Amen. So they're showing you up, old people. They're showing you up. You better get with the program. You better start saying, yes, I'll serve you, Jesus. Come on. Come on, somebody. Yes, I will do what you ask of me, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to dismiss our students to go to their prospective classes. Our teens have a class, and we have Firehouse Kids this morning for our kids' service. And then we also have a nursery. If you need to take your children back to the nursery this morning, you are welcome to do that. But we're just so thankful for the kids that we have in our church, what God's doing in their lives, and what they're doing in us. Right? Right? What they're doing in us. And so I'm excited because they are stirring our hearts to do more for Jesus, and we need that. How many of you know that as we get older, whether we want to or not, we slow down a little bit, right? We don't move quite as fast as we used to, and sometimes that spark that is the drive in us to go get after it, it fades a little bit because, you know, when you move, it starts to hurt. Right? Yeah. Brother Don said, been there, done that, right? If you're not there yet, then you haven't quite crossed over the line. And you'll get there, okay? And I'm not trying to be down. I'm just saying that's part of life. Lets us know that we're still living in a world that needs to be glorified. And that, thank God, that he promised us heaven. This isn't heaven. Thank God this isn't heaven. This is all we had to look forward to. We'd be in trouble, right? Now, I'm thankful for the moments of time that the Spirit of God gives us as he manifests his presence and his glory. We felt his presence here this morning. God's been doing different things in different people's lives already, and we're thankful for that. But I'm thankful of a future home where I get a new life, like life eternal, right? That I get a new home to live in, where I get to be with Jesus, and I get a new body. Hallelujah. Right? A new body. Those are good things of hope. That's part of the gospel message, and I'm thankful for that. And so, but we need those young people
who are still full of that fire and that zeal to help us olders to keep on going, right? Keep on keeping on. And we can then impart our wisdom that we have learned to them so that they don't make the same mistakes we did in our zealous days. Right? Can you remember them? Yeah. And our heart was to do something for Jesus, but, you know, sometimes we got ourselves tripped up. We get in the way, right? And we can impart that wisdom to them. Hey, let me share this with you. Let me speak this into your life. And so that's why we need the body. Man, I was so excited about the way that service opened up today. Brother Jesse, you don't even know this. We had a meeting yesterday with a group, and that meeting was started with that very scripture. Now tell me God ain't doing something. Because he wasn't there. He didn't know. He didn't talk to anybody. He had no idea. And the meeting we had was established with the very scripture he came in and read this morning. So God is doing some things in our midst. He's speaking a theme to us, right? He's speaking his word to us. And so we need to get after it. We need to get after it. Amen? Well, I want to greet anybody, it's your first time here. We welcome you. We thank you for coming this morning and being a part of our services and being a part of the body of Christ. That's what we're all about. We're all about kingdom work. If you come back again, just know this, that you're already labeled as one of the crazies and your family. And so you might as well just keep coming back, right? That's how we look at it. And if this isn't your home place where God has connected you, that's cool. We love visitors coming in, and we are people who realize that the body of Christ is worldwide, right? But we do want to welcome you for being with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to move into the very last message I'm going to preach along this series of the vision for the Lighthouse. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verses 15 through 18 there. And, yep, Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. And just want to share some things with you from my heart to close this out. But I'm only closing out ministering, preaching, and teaching on it, okay? Because you have to understand that you're going to hear these things that I've shared over the last several weeks. You're going to hear them over and over and over again because they're our vision. It's what God has stirred in our heart to do. It is the demand that God has put on this church, and we are going to see it happen. Amen? We're going to see it happen because we declare it by faith, and God has spoken it, so he will do it. How many know when God says something, he says it so he can do it, right? Like, he didn't say, let there be light, and then there was no light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He speaks something so it can come into existence. So he speaks something to us, and we need to hold fast to that word. Amen? And so I want to remind you, before we go into Mark 16, I want to remind you of a few things I spoke to you last week, because I'm going to ask you, if you're not a note taker, then I understand you don't need to write it down. If you are a note taker, make sure you write it down in some notes somewhere that are prevalent in your life, that you look at them often. But if you're not a note taker, what I'm asking you is to let God write these things on your heart. Let him write them on your heart so that you can live them out with us. Now remember, we are a community. We are a team working together to fulfill the destiny and purpose that God has put on our life, right? And so this church is called the Lighthouse for a reason. It's not just a name. It is our identity. We sang about that a lot this morning. I don't know if you noticed, but we sang about a lot that Jesus is who we are. What he has done has created who we are. And I'm not going to let anything else identify who I am. I'm not going to let someone else speak a word in my life and give me my identity, because Jesus has already given me my identity. Amen? And so, first and foremost, we are people of Jesus Christ. He is the Lighthouse, right? And since he is the Lighthouse, it is our job to be keepers of that Lighthouse, making sure that he is revealed in the earth. That's our job. And how do we do that? Well, our vision statement, that's very quick,
understanding for us to grab a hold of, but then it's also very deep that we could write a book on the vision statement, right? Is Luke 4:18 and 19, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to first preach the gospel. He's anointed us to bind up the brokenhearted. He's anointed us to set at liberty those that are bruised. He's anointed us to set the captives free. He's anointed us to open up the blinded eyes. He's anointed us to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18 and 19. That is our vision statement. That's what we see. We see us doing those things because the anointing of God rests upon our life. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, moves through us and has enabled us to do that, right? So Luke 4:18, 19, make sure you know that scripture. The other thing is our mission statement, which is shining the light of Jesus everywhere we go and in everything we do. That's our mission. We want Jesus to be lit up, right? We want Jesus to be seen in everything that we're taking part in because we are the lighthouse, right? We're shining the light into the darkness. We're shining the light of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, okay? And then the way we operate in this house, light is the vision and the mission. And remember, I talked about on a personal level, that light means that we're living in God's holy temple. Know you not, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So we have to live holy. We have to live blameless before God. It's not our doing that we do that. It's not by our works that we do that. It is by the presence of God that lives in us, that he continually purifies us. It is the blood of Jesus that initially purifies us. And it is by the word, or how Jesus said it, the washing of the word, meaning you continue to read the word of God, study the word of God, and it continually washes you. So on a personal level, we're living in a light by saying we are God's holy temple. We are the representation of the kingdom of God in this world. But then how do we work together? Because y'all know that people like to rub each other the wrong way. Y'all, no one's ever got on your nerves before? If you married, you better say, amen. Right? So how do we conduct ourselves? Our core values. Our core values. That's how. We hold fast to our core values, which is honor, openness, unity, service, and excellence. Those are our core values. It's the core of who we are. We hold them fast to us, and the first one is honor. If we honor God with our lives, if we honor one another, and if we honor ourselves, then we will fulfill the other four core values. That's the first and foremost. Because we could say, well, I'm going to be open with you right now. Let me just give you an example, okay? This is not true. This is an illustration, okay? If I hold openness above honor, then I might come up to Sister Betty and say, I got to be open with you. I can't stand you. Thank you. My core value of openness. Right? But that was not honoring to her, was it? That's why honor is the first one that establishes the rest. You understand? Because if we just hold up to excellence, I could look at Brother Caleb and say, you know what? Excellence is one of our core values, and you should have done a whole lot better playing the drums this morning because it wasn't very excellent. Right? You following me? Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So that's why honor is the first one establishes it, because I have to honor him. So instead I say, hey, thank you for serving by playing the drums and giving your best this morning. That's excellence, right? Giving your best, and I'm honoring him. Thank you, Sister Betty, for sometimes pushing me and getting on my nerves because I need it, okay? You're making me better, so I honor you for that. And I know that I get on your nerves, and hopefully I'm making you better, right? Now, look, this is illustration, okay? I'm not talking about something that happened. Okay? Yeah. She's like, yeah. All right, you following me? That's why it is all established with honor. Honor, openness, unity is the thing in the very middle that pulls everything back together, right? So the unity pulls our honor and openness, which is more of a soul thing, to our service and excellence, which is more of a body thing, right? And we operate in unity. It's the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. That's good. I don't know if you picked that up or not, but there's body, soul, and spirit right in our core values. And so it's important that we live these things out. We walk these things out, our vision statement, our mission statement, and our core values. And it's not just something that's trendy that a church is doing to try to get more people in the building. Look, I hope you know my heart. I love people coming and gathering here on Sundays and Wednesdays when we have our services, special services. We have a women's conference coming up. I love that. I love being in fellowship with the people of God. But what I love more is kingdom work. You hear me? And what is kingdom work? That means we're stepping into the darkness and pulling people out of death. And the Holy Spirit, through the words that he gives us to speak, is breathing life into them. And they become a living soul again. Amen. They become alive unto God. And I don't care where they start attending a local group of people that are part of the body of Christ. I just want them to become part of the body of Christ. Amen. And so we're not trying to build the kingdom of the lighthouse. We're building the kingdom of God. And so we have these things. This our mission and our core values and our vision is so that we can lift up Jesus Christ. And I preached to you last week that the churches, the seven churches in Asia, they were the lampstands that they were shining on the one who was in the midst of them. They weren't shining their own light, trying to outshine. You know, the church of Laodicea was not trying to outdo the church of Philadelphia by shining a light brighter. And if they were, they were getting it wrong. They were shining the light on the one that was in the midst of them, the one that has hair white as snow, one that has eyes of a burning fire, one that has feet of brass, one that when he speaks, it sounds like the roaring of many waters. Him, that's who we are pointing out. Amen? Jesus is his name, if you didn't know. When I get done preaching, I'll introduce you to him if you don't know him. Come on, right? And so this is what we're supposed to be doing. And so what I want to begin to share with you this morning is that from time to time, in those vision, that vision and mission and our core values, how this church is structured, from time to time, God will give you themes as a pastor that go along with the vision, mission, and the operating of the core values so that we can really focus where God wants us to focus. And last year, God spoke to me, reach and teach, reach and teach, reach and teach. And we started establishing that theme. That's not our vision, okay? It's just a theme of the vision, right? If we're reaching and teaching people, we're fulfilling the vision. We're fulfilling the mission, right? And we're doing that by upholding those core values. So reach and teach is a theme that God started burning in my heart. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I saw a lot of people who attended church, but they weren't the church. There's a lot of people who go to church, but that's not biblical. If you read your Bible, you realize that we are the church. Therefore, we cannot go to church. And so God started stirring in me. He's like, we got to get this bad habit broken in the American church. Well, what do we do on Sundays? Well, we go to church. No, 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 no. You should have been at church all week long. You are the church, right? Brother Jesse mentioned the word, it's a Greek word, ekklesia, this morning. And ekklesia, that's what it means. It means it is a group of people who have been given the right and authority by one who rules over them to go into and carry their kingdom mindset, their rules, their reign into the world, right? That's what the ecclesia is. And so therefore, when we call ourselves the church, that means that's who we are. It's our identity. It's not a place we go. Now, we come together and gather together here in a building, but this is not the church. We learned in 2020 that you cannot silence the church. You can't shut down the church. You can close the doors of a building, but you still can't close the doors of the church. Right? Because I heard more preaching and teaching on the internet than I had ever had before that. Because the church was still going to be the church. Amen. Amen? So we say, let the church be the church. And we are going to be the church. And we are going to do what God has called us to do. So this theme, reach and teach, started stirring in me. And let me give you the foundation of the scripture of where that comes from. Because remember, everything we do goes back to what God has already said. Amen? It's how we know we can have peace about it. That's how we know we have safety and security in it, is because God has already spoken it. Right? So the Bible says here in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18, and he said unto them, who's he? Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. So this is not Peter speaking. This is not John speaking, James speaking, Thaddeus speaking, not one of the disciples, not some dude walking by that just cried out. This is Jesus, our Lord. This is his command to his people. He says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's a pretty big job. He didn't say, go and let all of your friends know. He didn't say, go and let your family know. He didn't say, go let your city know. He said all of creation, all of the whole world. Why? Because God loved the world so much that he gave us Jesus. Why? So that he could rescue the whole world and give the whole world eternal life. So now he's saying this message that I have delivered to you and actually performed for you, go tell everybody. Reach. Reach out and tell somebody, all of creation, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. There's that word again. And we were already talking about this morning, saved, rescued. Rescued from what? From sin, from hell, from destruction, right? But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, I know we sometimes struggle with this in our generation, but this is the bottom line. This is the truth. If you believe in Jesus, then you're saved. You're rescued. You make him Lord, all right, of your life. You're rescued from your sin. You're rescued from eternal death. But if you reject Jesus Christ, and when I say reject him, I'm saying anything besides the fact that you believe that he is God, that he died for you, that he rose again, and he's given you a new life. If you reject any parts of that, then guess what? You reject Jesus. And therefore, you're condemned. Now, here's the thing. John tells us in chapter 3 that it's not that God condemns us after we reject Jesus. In verse 18, he tells us that we're already condemned. So here's the thing. We are already living in sin. We already have the condemnation of death upon us. So it's not like something changed because we rejected Jesus. No, everything stayed the same. Something changes when you receive Jesus and you believe in Jesus. You get it? You got to get a hold of that, because there's people that are trying to twist all that up and make God seem like this judgmental, mean God. No, you are already condemned to hell before he shows up. He's trying to rescue you from that. Man, I don't know if I'm going to get through all this. I start reading the Bible and I just start preaching. Then he says this, verse 17, and these signs will accompany or follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, why do these signs follow us? Because it is the demonstration of the power that lives inside of us when we were rescued from our sin. It is the experience of love. This is what God spoke to me this morning. Remember, I told you throughout these weeks that life is manifested in light, right? Remember that in the creation story, when God is creating the world, in the narrative, he tells us that there was nothingness. There was darkness over the face of the deep. Nothing existed. And out of nothing became something. What was it? Light. He said, let there be light. So in the life, the core of life and life coming into existence, it was manifested in light. But then he said this to me. So life is manifested in light, but life is experienced in love. Well, how can you say that, Pastor Joe? Well, first of all, the Bible says God is light. So God is life. He's the very essence of life, right? So when he manifests himself, when life is manifested or we can see it, it is in the form of light. But when we experience God, the Bible also says that God is love. And so when we experience real life, I'm not talking about just a person living and breathing. How many know that people walk around dead all the time? I mean, they're breathing, but they're dead, right? That's not life. That's existence. There's a difference. That's not life. That's existence. God is giving us life. And when life is experienced, it's experienced in love because God is love. So it's manifested in light, but it's experienced in love. Now, sometimes that love doesn't always feel like what we think it should feel like. My dad used to do this, and maybe it wasn't appropriate, but this is just how our family operated. He would show me love sometimes by correcting me. You know how he would correct me? He'd go, what are you doing? He slapped me right on the back of the head. Now, he knew, listen, you know how you have to take care of your individual children in the way that they need to be taken care of. Okay, I'm a ruffian, all right? That's just what I am. My wife will tell you, I am a ruffian. You got to be rough with me for it to get through. It's called a thick head, right? Now, Joe, you can't be doing that. I'd be like, who are you and what are you even trying to do? Okay, so he'd go, hey, boy, straighten up. That was my experience of his love for me. Now, that might not be communicated to you that way. To you, that might feel like abuse. That's why the Heavenly Father knows how to communicate to each individual person. Thank God y'all ain't as thick-headed as I am, right? Praise the Lord for that. We'd all be in trouble. But God speaks his love to me, and I experience his love in the way that I need it. Now, sometimes it's just like I feel like it's a big hug, right? Like God's just holding me. But then other times, the Bible says that he will chastise or correct those whom he loves. And so God is going to correct you and show you and it let you experience his love in the way that you understand it. And everybody said amen. So what does this mean? Well, Mark is telling us that as God ministers to our life, he speaks these things to us. Now, we are then in turn supposed to go to others and share it with them. That's what Mark's saying here. He's saying that I am telling you, go. And the things that I have imparted in you, even as you go, the more you learn, the more you share with other people. This is the reaching part of what God is speaking to us. The problem is we stopped reaching. We stopped. The American church stopped. Do you know that over the centuries and over the years, the most effective evangelistic nation that has ever lived or ever came into existence is the United States of America? We have spread the gospel worldwide more than any other nation has. And unfortunately, we have come to a place in time where now we have evangelists leaving their countries to come to America and evangelize America. Now, that is the grace of God. Don't look down on that. Be thankful that God is still sending people to evangelize the world, right? But we have lost ourselves. We've lost our identity. And it's time that we as the American church stop being gluttons of the word of God and just wanting more and more for us and more and more for us and saying that the blessings of God make me rich and prosperous. And I know that God's blessed me because I drive a fancy car and live in a fancy house and wear fancy clothes. Are you kidding me? Have you read your Bible? Look, I believe that God will bless us monetarily when we need it, but only if we're willing to keep giving it so that it will reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe in the prosperity message. God will prosper us, but he wants our souls to prosper more than our bank accounts to prosper. And as he gives, then I give in return. Why? Because I got to reach people. I got to reach people. That's why I'm still here. That's why I'm in existence on the face of this earth, is because I have a purpose to reach outside of myself to others who need Jesus. Go into all the world. Go. That's not a commandment for me as a pastor. That's a commandment for his church. I'm glad I got some good amens on that one. So that means when I come and ask you, hey, you going to go to this and go do this? Then you're going to say, oh, yeah, because I've been commanded to go. Now everybody's going, whoa, pastor, hit the brakes. That's a little too much. You see, we look at it like this. Well, pastor, you've been to Africa and you've been to Cuba and you preach in Pakistan and you preach in Nigeria and different places and, you know, all these things. And so we will just fund you and you go. And he said to them, fund your pastors so they can go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. That's not what the Bible says. Now, I understand that some of you's purpose may not be to go overseas and preach. But you step outside of those doors right there, you have been launched into your mission field, just as I have been. How terrible would it be for me as a pastor to walk past everybody else that I live amongst and only preach the gospel to foreign nations? Shame on me if that's how I live my life. I tell you all the time, the brighter that we shine here, the further we can reach the world. Right? We are all called to go. We are all called to reach. Do you got that part? So I can move on? I only heard a few of you. I can go back and read the text again and start preaching all over. What's Matthew say then? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Now remember, I'm reading to you the very last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he left the earth. Now how many of you have ever heard of last words? People are dying. They're getting ready to leave this world, right? And what they have to say is some of the most important words that they want to share. Like, they don't beat around the bush anymore, right? Like, how many of you ever heard people getting called in and they're like, man, we need to make this right. There's something between us. And before I die, I need to know that we've made this right. And they don't beat around the bush anymore about it. They don't talk about similes or metaphors anymore about, no. They're like, hey, we got a problem and we need to fix it, right? Last words are important. So here are the last words of Jesus. He says, first of all, you need to go. You got to go. You got to go do this now. I'm leaving. I'm giving this to you. You must carry this mantle. In chapter 28, starting in verse 18, he says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, there's that word again. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So he's also letting them know, yes, I'm leaving, but I'm always going to be with you. How is that? Well, he tells us a little bit later that he's going to send the promise
of the Holy Spirit that will always be with us, right? But he's telling us that you need to go, and not only are you going to go and reach people and go out and evangelize them or outreach them or tell them about who I am, but now you also need to go and make disciples. Now, here's something that we do worse than evangelism. Is discipleship. I mean, every once in a while, we'll get an ocean. We'll feel a goosebump, and we'll think it's the Holy Ghost when really it was just a cool breeze. I'm being real with you this morning. And we'll go, I better go tell that person about Jesus. So we'll evangelize every once in a great, 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 great while. But to make disciples, how many have ever had to make a disciple before? That's hard. That is hard. You know why? Because they're people and they won't listen. This is coming straight from a pastor's heart to you this morning. I mean, you can give people good advice. You can walk alongside with them, do life with them. That's basically what being a disciple is. You can teach them the disciplines of Jesus. That's what it is. I mean, I don't know how many times I've had people come to me all upset. Oh, Pastor, my whole world is turned upside down. Everything has fallen apart. Nothing is right. And they hate it when I say this. Well, have you been talking to God? You've been praying? Well, no. When's the last time you got in your Bible and really started reading and studying and finding out what the direction of your life is? Well, I don't know. Well, no wonder your life is turned upside down. You're not using the disciplines, the two basic disciplines that God's given you. And here's the third one that they really don't like, this because then they think it's all about me and my ego. Well, when's the last time you've been to church? You came and you gathered with the church. You came in the presence of God with like-minded believers. Well, you just want my money. No. I want God to have your life. I'm asking for much more than just your money. That really offends them. Right? No wonder our world gets turned upside down when we're not following three basic disciplines that God told us to do. Gather together, study his word, and talk to him in prayer. But getting people to do that and making disciples, it can be tough. I mean, I have been grabbed a hold of and thrown on some roller coaster rides with some people before. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, their lives are just like, whoo, everything's great. No, everything's terrible. Oh, everything's great. No, everything's terrible. And you feel like all you did was like you just trying to go, hey, let's follow Jesus. And you're getting jerked around, right? Because making disciples can be difficult. But is the sacrifice that God asks of us. Now listen to me closely, church. It is the teaching part of the reach and teach. And we have to be willing to be jerked around, pushed around, prodded, and being ripped all over the park. And because what we need to be is we need to be that steadfast person that, yeah, our arm may be going like this, but we're unmovable. We are standing on the solid rock of Jesus. And while their life is all like this, every time they turn and see us, they see an example of what a true follower of Jesus looks like. And they go, how can I get to there? Right? And we have to be willing to experience this while we stand our ground in the holiness of God upon him. Because people need it. People need it. And they're going to hurt you. They're going to say things that are so mean and nasty to you. And if they're honest, they'll cuss you out. Why? Because they're trying to figure out this process of how do I let go of myself and follow Jesus. And this is where I've come to. I don't care how many tears I have to cry.
I don't care how many times I got to come down and kneel at the altar with somebody. I don't care how many 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock phone calls I have to answer. One of these times, by faith, I believe it's going to stick. And they're going to get it. And they're going to understand it. And they're going to receive their victory. Why? Because I wouldn't give up on that one soul that God sent my way. We have to get so dogmatic in our faith in Jesus, not our faith in people. They will let you down. Even your pastor, me, I will let you down. I will do something that will upset you. I will do something that does not reflect Jesus Christ. It's not my goal, and I pray all the time, Lord, help me be Jesus to the world. But I guarantee you, because I'm human, I'm going to do something you don't like. I will let you down. But Jesus Christ will never let you down. So we rely on Jesus Christ through it all, and we take the heartache and the pain and the hurts that people give us, and we do not allow our hearts to be offended, and we keep loving people. That's discipleship. Who wants to sign up? Let's go do it. Wait, I forgot to tell you one thing. You ready for the best part? Because in one day, we all cross from this life to the next life, and we all get to shout and dance in glory together and live with Jesus Christ forever. And every heartache, every hurt, every pain that we went through, it's worth it all, because we get to be with Jesus and we get to have them be with Jesus with us. Every time someone cuts you, you remind yourself, I'm doing this so they can get to heaven and we can live in glory with Jesus. It's worth it all when we get there. It will be worth it all once we cross over into glory. Every heartache and pain and sorrow we feel, it will be worth it all. So go make disciples. Go into all the world and preach the proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That's the reaching part. And go and make disciples. That's the teaching part. And it's hard. It's difficult, but I have some other good news for you I want to share with you. Because though we as people have feelings and things that we face, Jesus began to declare these things to us as well. He said, truly, truly, John 14:12, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Now, the last part is the most important part of this verse. So what do you mean, Pastor? We're going to go do great works. Yeah, we're going to go do great works. Anybody that tells you that you're, as a Christian, don't have to do works, that's a lie. We're not saved by our works. That's the truth. We're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, because then we could boast about it and be like, ha ha, my works are better than your works. Y'all were saved. Bottom line, that's all that matters, right? Not by our works. But in that very same passage, when he's speaking to the Ephesian church there, the Apostle Paul, he also says, but because of my faith and because of my salvation, now I will have works that I do that follow me. What are those works? They're the works of faith. What was the work of faith that Abraham did? He left everything he knew, his family, everything he was familiar with. He left it all to follow a voice that he heard that said, go, and wherever you go, I will give you that land. That's a work of faith, right? We lay hands on the sick and pray for them. That's a work of faith. We preach the gospel and believe that people will listen to it and get saved. That's a work of faith, right? So we have these works we do. They don't save us, but because we are saved, because we have been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, now I can't help myself. When a door opens up, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. That's a work of faith. So we have to do these works. But the key of all of this, and in this passage, is the last part. Because I am going to the Father. First of all, Jesus is no longer on the earth. Therefore,
He cannot preach to people anymore. He needs us to open our mouths and tell somebody about him. He has ascended and sits at the right hand of God. Praise God for that. And the Bible says he intercedes for us. Praise God for that. But he's going to his Father. And he's been there, right? He's gone to his Father. He was going in this passage and he's gone there. He needs some people to speak for him. Here's the second reason why it's important we know that this is the most pivotal part of this scripture, is that he also promised previously that when he would go to the Father, he would send another comforter. Hallelujah. So not only is he just going to the Father and he needs people to speak on his behalf now, but also since he's gone to the Father, he sent back the Holy Ghost that now comes on our life and enables us and empowers us to do the very works he did. And the reason that they are greater works is because now instead of the Holy Spirit moving through one person in the world named Jesus Christ, now the Holy Spirit moves through every believer that receives, and the power of God flows through us, and we do greater works because we reach more people. But if we don't do it, then it doesn't get done. We keep waiting on God to do some sovereign act. Listen to me. Just hang with me for a minute here. We're celebrating Asbury, right? And what's coming out of Asbury. And praise God for that. And there are people saying, oh, it's a sovereign move of God. And while I believe that and I understand that, some people take that and make it to mean something it doesn't mean. They think that all of a sudden, God just showed up one day. Hello? Did you hear the first part? There's a bunch of believers that gathered together and they started praying. Had it not been for the people coming together, the people of God coming and praying, God could have never showed up, because God has limited himself to us. I know it's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me either. But I'm not God, and he's way smarter than I am. So I trust the way he does stuff. And he said, I am going away, and I'm leaving you with this message. Now you got to go carry it to the world. And by the way, I'm going to give you a power and an authority, because you see, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And I'm going to give you that same power and authority through the presence of the anointing of Jesus Christ that will rest upon your life. His name is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will fall upon you and enable you to do the same works that I do. But you got to tarry and you got to wait until you are endued with power from on high. Guess what they were doing in Asbury? They were tarrying. They were waiting. They were praying. They were saying, God, we need you to move, and we are hungry for a move of God, and we are doing something that you have commanded us to do, a discipline that you have taught us to do. And yes, it's hard. It's hard for this flesh, because it's hard for us to sit and take time and pray and talk to God when we don't even know if he's really listening. But I have news for you. God hears every single prayer that you pray, and it's proof that God, when you begin to pray, God's power, his glory will fall, and he will manifest himself in the earth. You see, it wasn't just some crazy sovereign act that all of a sudden God just showed up at Asbury, and when people walked into the chapel there, they're like, whoa, what is this? No, they gathered together to do what they were purposed to do, to get a hold of God in the earth and be conduits for him. They just wanted more of God. And because God saw their heart, he said, okay, I'm going to show up now. That means this, church, that if you and I that are in this building right now will purpose in our hearts that we're going to pray and we're going to seek the face of God and we're going to get a hold of God ourselves, then he will show up. He's no respecter of person. He will show up, and he will begin to move through us, just as he began to do in Asbury, just as he did at Azusa Street, just as he done in the first Great Awakening and the second Great Awakening. It all started with a prayer meeting. It's
I'm just going to share this with you. I'll talk to you how God talked to me. That way you can't get offended at me. You have to be offended at God. 2 or 3 years ago, God said this to me. I can't remember what time it was, but I remember he spoke this to me. I kept going, God, we need revival. We need revival. We need revival. Man, and then I said, we want revival. And he said, do you? You want revival? Yes, God. I mean, I heard this clear in the spirit. I want revival. He said, well, you don't show that you want revival. I said, what do you mean, God? I said, well, any time that there's ever been an outpouring of me, people gathered together and prayed. They set aside their time that they thought was theirs. They begin to give it to me. They begin to do something for me instead of them expecting me to do something for them. So you say you want revival because you think it sounds good. But if you really want revival, then you will sacrifice the time that you need to see it come. Jesus, forgive me. Lord, Father, help me. Because I was giving him lip service. I knew how to talk the talk. I could say the right words. All of that. But I wasn't giving him my true service, which is my life. You say, but Joe, you were preaching and doing all that. Yeah, it didn't matter. I had my time that I was not willing to give up. But I would say the churchy stuff like, Lord, send revival. Oh, we need the power of God to fall. All the while not willing to make the sacrifice to see it happen. That's why this theme has been burning in me the last 2 years. It's time that the church say enough is enough. You want to say that your world's been turned upside down, that there's foolishness across this land, that evilness is being allowed to run rampant? That's an indictment on the church. It's time the church begin to pray again. It's time the church begin to sanctify themselves again. It's time the church begin to seek the face of God again. And it's time the church begin to reach people and teach people. Why? Because he has went back to the Father. He can't do it. He went back. But he sent his Holy Spirit so that we could do it. And when we decide we're really going to do it, the Holy Spirit will enable us to do it. I hear people all the time, well, I don't know if I know how to talk to people. Can you open your mouth? Can you open your mouth? See, us Pentecostals, you know why we stress speaking in tongues so much? It teaches us how to talk God's talk. See, when I give myself to the Holy Spirit and I begin to speak in tongues, that's not me speaking. That's God speaking through me, right? I mean, that's what we believe, right? Okay. So I believe it's important. It's an important aspect because I learn then how to speak for God. So that way when I meet somebody and I got to talk to them in English so they can understand me, then I can speak God's words, not mine. You say, it's that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. If I learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost and speak to God through his language, then I can also learn how to speak his language in English to someone else. It's by the power that he has anointed me with. All right, I'll keep reading to you, okay? Luke 24:49 says this, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed or endued with power from on high. I already quoted this to you, right? So he says to them, look, I told you to go into the world and preach my gospel. Go and make disciples. But before you go, don't do anything until you receive the promise. Why? Because it is the promise that enables us to do the works that prove that Jesus is who he says he is. Amen? So Acts says this, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Why? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. But he doesn't stop there. In all Judea. And he doesn't stop there. And Samaria. And he doesn't even stop there. And to the end of the earth. So the very thing that he gave us, which is the promise, is the Holy Spirit, the empowerment, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that enables us to go. You get it? We can go because we have the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Holy Spirit, we can go. We can go and preach, and we can go and make disciples. We cannot reach and we cannot teach if we do it in our own power. And I know I took a while to get here this morning, but just follow the track with me if you will, okay? He told us to go, but sometimes we go on our own accord and in our own power, and we get burned out and we get stressed out and we get frustrated because we're trying to do the works of God in our own self. But he said, hey, don't forget that when you go, you got to take the Holy Spirit with you. Because he will empower you. Dunamis, I wish I had time to go into that. Dunamis power he will give you so that you can go and heal the sick. You can raise the dead. That blind eyes will open. That broken hearts, people who have been wounded deeply inside are healed. People who are oppressed of the devil are set free. People who are imprisoned with bondages. You've heard some of them spoken this morning like addiction. You know, addiction is just a stronghold from the enemy that needs to be broken. And what breaks the yokes of the enemy? It is the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, that breaks every yoke. That is why the vision is the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because he has anointed us. We must carry the anointing if we're going to go reach people and teach people. We can't do it in our own strength and our own power. So Acts 2, 1 through 4 says this, but when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That's just a plug that you need to come and gather together. If you don't, you might miss what God's doing. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Now I know this is hard for us to understand, but Pentecostals, they weren't up jumping up and down. They weren't standing and clapping their hands. They were actually sitting. They were waiting. Sometimes we get in a hurry in our services. As I felt that this morning, I was like, hey, let's slow down here. Let's let God do what he's going to do. Amen? They were sitting there. And divided or clothed in tongues, divided tongues as fire set or fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, verse 16 says this, but this is what was uttered or spoken through the prophet Joel, that in the last days I shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You getting a hold of this? This is what we're supposed to do. This is how God has empowered us. That we're supposed to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen. Don't get mad at me here. Okay? But I got to be real with you. Because we live in a totally different time than we used to. All right? So people don't need you to claim. Listen to me. Claim that the Holy Spirit is moving on your life. They need you to be a conduit where the Holy Spirit moves upon your life. Now listen, I know that there are habits that we have in the church that are bad. We use language sometimes that we assume everybody knows what it means. I mean, we'll walk up to somebody at Walmart and said, God spoke to me and said that you need to be sanctified. Have a blessed day. Now you laugh, but come on. I've been guilty of it. And I feel so good about myself. I was obedient to you, Lord. And that person's going, what a weirdo. Like, I have no idea what that person just said to me. But, hey, green beans are on sale. You following me? If we want to be able to communicate to people, we got to speak it in language they understand. Don't prophesy to people in the King James Version. We get it in here. Thus saith the Lord your God. Okay, I know what you're saying. You got people that are hung up on thus. That's the first word you spoke. What does thus mean? And you laugh, but it's the truth. Let God speak to you in a way that, and through you, in a way that they can hear it. Amen. So instead of coming up and saying that someone needs to be sanctified, say, hey, man, how you doing? You good? Hey, you know, I just feel that you're struggling with something. Something's trying to hold on to your life, and you've been trying to let it go, but you feel like it just keeps pulling you back and pulling you back. And they're going, man, how did you know that? Well, God gave me a word of knowledge, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. He began to speak to me. Or here's an even better one. Ask. Because you know what? You may miss it. It's okay to miss it. Give yourself room to make mistakes. Say, hey, man, you've been struggling with something? No, I'm good. Oh, you sure? Okay. Maybe I missed it. Maybe you didn't. But they weren't willing to be honest with you. But they're going to be like, man, how did that person know that I'm struggling with something? How do they know I'm struggling with that? That's going to just drive them crazy. You hear what I'm saying? This is how we start reaching people. This is how we start connecting with people. And we become real with them. And we speak to them in a way that they can get it. And the Holy Spirit will do that for you. Something us Pentecostals have been bad about is we just assume that what we see in church is how the Holy Ghost moves. No. Now look, man, I am full-blown Pentecostal. You can spit on me, cry on me, snot on me, shake me, and pray for me, and I will feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. It will not distract me one bit because I am full-blown Pentecostal. I get it, okay? That's what I was raised in, classic Pentecostalism. I don't get offended by that. I don't get distracted by that. I understand that. You're speaking my language. You get it? But you know that there's people that come to church here now that weren't raised in that? If I start grabbing them and shaking them, they're like, what in the world? And I say, well, it was God. No, that was you. You got excited because you felt God. This is good teaching. This is going to help us reach people better. You hear me? We have to be sensitive to how God wants us to speak to people, even in this building. Because sometimes we chase people off with our personalities and what we have learned to know to come to say, well, this is God. No, that was you. God was moving and then you tripped up over yourself. Look, I'm fully aware. I get wound up. And there's times where I feel the Holy Spirit, like right now, saying, hey, you don't need to be yelling, jumping up and down and screaming. Yeah, I know you want to because it feels good, Joe, but you need to make sure they understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because look, like I said, I grew up in this. I'm fully aware that sometimes it just sounds like I'm yelling. I have a preacher friend that said a story one time. He said this little boy come up to him after service, and he said, man, Pastor, that was some good yelling. That's what, you know, kids are honest, right? So we need to reach people and teach people. And we do that by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the power of the Holy Ghost does not always demonstrate himself in those ways. Remember, he's a gentleman. He will not force himself on anybody. Now listen to me, people of God. That means you have to be the same way. Do not force yourself on anyone. Speak to people. Talk to people. Make connection with people. And as you do that, then God will begin to move through your life. And you can make meaningful connections. And God will just do wonders through us. I'm telling you, he will do wonders through us. So this is what I want you to do. This is what God spoke to me to do this morning. Is I have these cards that say, reach one, teach one. They're from last year. And this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to just take one because they're getting passed out. Some of you will need this and some of you won't need this. So if you don't need it, don't take it. But if you know you need it as a reminder, then take it, okay? And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to write down three things on the back at the top. All right? At the top. Three things I'm going to ask you to write down when you get this. And then I'm going to ask you to pray that God would give you a name. Some of you may get more than one name. But if you get a name, write it down underneath those three things. Now, I don't want you to write that name down this morning unless you've already heard God speak to you this year for that person. But this is what I'm going to believe God with you for, and you're going to believe God with me for, is that God is going to give each and every one of us a person that we're supposed to reach and teach. For some of you, it may be two different people. One person may be the person you're reaching, and another person may be a person you're teaching. Some of you, it may be only one person that you're going to reach out to them and you're going to begin to teach them. Some of you may have two, three, four people, whatever. However God speaks to you, I want you to write those names on this card if you want to take a card. Brother Ryan, if you pass these out for me, just raise your hand if you want a card. And this is what we're going to do this morning. And then we're going to close in prayer. Reach one, teach one. It's that simple. Do you realize that if every person in here reached one person this year for Jesus and they gave their life to Jesus Christ, that just this local body here would double in size? Right? And that doesn't mean that they would all come to church here, but they would double in size. Do you understand? If we all would reach one person, the kingdom of God in this area would double in size from us. How amazing would that be? Think about it. How amazing would that be? I think we can do it. We're not asking you to reach millions. We're not asking you to reach thousands. We're not asking you to reach hundreds of thousands or even hundreds. One. How many of you have ever heard of D.L. Moody, Dwight L. Moody? Raise your hand so I can see. Dwight L. Moody, right? Moody Bible Institute is a great evangelist, swept across this nation and went to the world, reached people for Jesus. Do you know that he was a knucklehead? He was a problem for church. He was. Everybody ignored him because they thought he was nothing but a problem. Except for one man. His name was Edward Kimball. And Edward Kimball was his Sunday school teacher. And everybody told Edward Kimball, give it up on Dwight. He's a lost cause. He's a street kid. He won't listen. He won't do what's right. Just give up. And Edward Kimball said, no, I cannot give up on this one kid. And you know that one day, Edward Kimball finally led Dwight to Jesus. And it totally transformed Dwight L. Moody's life. And he became the great evangelist, Dwight L. Moody,
that reached hundreds of thousands of people for Jesus. But Edward Kimball reached one. And in reaching one, he reached hundreds of thousands. You see, what we're doing right now impacts eternity. Eternity. Not just the one person you're thinking about. So these are the three things I want you to write down. Number one, I will pray for them every day. Write that down. I will pray for them every day. If I go too fast, just tell me, because I want you to get this. Number two, I will invite them to come and be a part of some type of gathering that the church is having once a month. I will invite them. It doesn't have to be a Sunday morning service even. Just invite them to come be a part of what the church is doing, right? And you're part of the church. That means maybe 1 month the invite is just to dinner, right? Just invite them. Once a month, invite them to come and be a part of what you're doing as you are being the church. And number three is I will talk to them about eternity once a quarter. I will talk to them about eternity once a quarter. And if you will commit to do these three things for the person that God gives you, you're going to write their name underneath. Whoever that is, maybe it's more than one person. Then let's stand in faith and believe that as we sow seed and as we water that seed, that God will bring forth the increase and we will get to reap a harvest from that person's soul. Can we believe that together this morning? Now, we have committed that every Sunday we're going to pray for the lost. So we're going to pray for the lost right now. You may not have your name yet. That's fine. I don't want you to just quick, willy-nilly write a name down. No. I want you to become broken over this. Because if you just do this because Pastor Joe said, I'll do this, then it won't accomplish anything. But if you take this to the Lord and you become broken and you say, God, people need you. And you have told me to be that person to talk to them. Now, who is that one person that you're putting in my life? Who is it? Then you become broken and then it becomes serious to you. Then you can't forget about that name because it will just ring in your heart. And you won't help yourself, but you will be praying for them every day. And once a month, you're going to be contacted. Hey, let's get together. Hey, you know, we got this going on. Why don't you come out with us? And once a quarter, you're going to be like, do you understand that eternity is forever? It's forever. It's not something you play with. It's forever. I want you to stand to your feet right now. And I want you to understand, one of these days, God's going to let us do some impartation. We're going to lay hands and pray for people. But I don't feel that this morning. I wanted to do it this morning, but God's saying, no, not, today's not the day. So what we're going to do is we're going to join in faith right now. We're going to pray for lost souls. We're going to pray that God gives us a name, a person, a soul for ourselves, right? Not just lost souls, oh God, touch the lost, generic. No, no, no. God's going to give us a specific person to reach and teach this year. And then we're going to pray for the church plant that we're going to do that I told you about last week. That God's going to give us souls in a specific community that's not even being reached, the Hispanic community in our county. We're going to pray for them today.
And then we're going to ask God to make us laborers in his field. Will you join your faith with me? Come on, right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see our hearts. You see how we're done with this playing church thing, done with just coming to feel good about ourselves, God. But we are your people, called by your name, and we are humbling ourselves before you right now. Forgive us for being lazy. Forgive us for being selfish. And help us, God, to see the people around us that do not know you, that do not know the truth and your love and your goodness. And God, I pray that you will just begin to drop souls into our hearts right now. People that we will deeply care for and care about. Give us those names right now, God. Speak to your people that we may reach and teach another generation for you, that we can declare your mighty works, that we can operate in the power of your anointing, and we can see your work go forth, God, and be done. We pray for lost souls right now. We pray for prodigals right now that need to return back to you, that have ran from you, that have left you, God. We pray for them right now that they would come and turn and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We pray for people who do not even know who you are, God. And I ask you, Lord, to put them in our lives, place their names on our hearts, that we can carry them to you every day. We can see another generation transformed by your power. Now, God, we pray for this specific community, a community of people who are not being reached at all, a community of people who possibly even feel forgotten about in our area, people who feel like outcasts that aren't even known, God. And I pray that as we make plans to prepare this church plant of a Hispanic church, a Spanish-speaking church for people who only speak Spanish, God, I pray that you will give us souls for our labor, that we will see more people come to your kingdom because we show the love of Jesus Christ to all people, of all people groups, Lord, that they do matter, that they're not isolated, that they're not forgotten, God, but that you see them and we see them and you love them and we love them. God, give us connections to their community. Let them trust us, God, and help us to be trustworthy. Help us to be trustworthy. Help us to operate in a way that is trustworthy to them, Lord. God, give us souls for this church. Now, God, you need laborers, and you told us to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers because the harvest is ripe. Here we are, send us, God. Here we are, send us, God, to be laborers in your fields, reaping the harvest. Stir in our hearts a passion and a desire to fulfill your word, the great commission, which is to go and preach, to go reach people, to go teach people, to make disciples, to love people, Lord. Stir in our hearts. I thank you, God, that you're making that connection. Now you see those that have already been on our heart. You see our unsaved family members, our loved ones, Lord, that don't know you. God, I thank you that you're putting people in their way that they will listen to. God, I thank you that you're opening doors for us to speak into their lives, that they will not shut us down. And God, I thank you that walls are being broken down right now. Oh, Father, I thank you that walls within communities that have separated people are coming down right now. The false narrative and the lies of the enemy that he has spread, it's being broken. God, I thank you of walls, of strongholds, of addictions are being broken right now in people's lives. God, I thank you that walls of separation among your people, walls of offense are being broken and healed right now, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that you're raising up your people to do your work, to be about the Father's business. Now, God, I pray blessing upon everyone that's here. Keep them, watch over them. May your face shine upon them, and may they live in your peace, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, and we thank you for the opportunity to be your church in this generation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday. We love you all. Don't forget to grab your kids. Get your kids together.